Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Bhava Girdhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Bhava Girdhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Chiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Punjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girdhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girdhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Om Gyana Chivananda Shagananjana Shalakaya Chakshunun Milagaram Nigena Tajmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Shrimate Namal Krishna Goswamaniti Namane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Sananta Sarasvati Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachanane Nirvisheshanivani Pashatade Shtavane Shri Shri Gauranga Gaura Nitai Ki Radha Kala Chanji Ki Jagannath Baladev Lady Subhadra Devi Ki. Yes, verse 4. Yeah. So today is an auspicious filled day. And I thought I'd speak a little bit about that before going into this text for. Today is Amala Akadasi, Amalika Akadasi. And I was reading a little bit about this Akadasi, so I thought I'd mention because I thought it was quite interesting. Amalika Akadasi, a great king, his name was Mandatata. He asked, this was in previous, many, many previous, in different yuga, different time. But it's just, I'll brief on this Akadasi. He asked Vasishtha Muni, you know, to tell him what is the most, you know, would benefit him, what kind of a fast would benefit him eternally. And he described this Akadasi and saying that it could give, if you fast, it gets free of all kinds of sins, gives enormous wealth, attains liberation, the benefit of giving, you know, thousands of cows in charity. And so, it described that this particular Akadasi, this one today is called Amalika Akadasi, Amalaka Akadasi, Amalaki Akadasi. So when he asked Vasishtha Muni about this particular Akadasi, what would be the benefit of the fast, he described that it would eradicate all kinds of sins, give enormous wealth, purifying as if you gave, you know, thousands of cows in charity. So as it happened, during this Akadasi, his kingdom was very, very pure and auspicious. Everyone had great knowledge, great Vedic knowledge, great strength of character. Everyone was engaged perfectly in their duties, their dharmic duty. This was in previous millenniums. He was speaking with Vasishtha Muni, so I'm not sure which it was, certainly many, many millions of years ago in our time. And so, but on this particular Akadasi, He advised them to do a sacrifice. So he advised the whole kingdom to go to the forest and perform this beautiful sacrifice. So he went to the forest, and while they were in the forest, there were so many ghee lamps lit, and they were worshiping Lord Damodar. And all of a sudden, there was this man who was a hunter, a killer of animals. That's what he did for a living. He killed animals and to maintain, I guess. So he was happened to be in the forest at the same time, and he was in hiding, and he saw this amazing sacrifice going on, they're worshiping Lord Damodar. There's lamps all night long. They fasted and did this jugga. And so this very low-born, you know, personality witnessed in awe at this whole happening and was struck. So he stayed up all night long, and he watched this jugga going on. And at the at the morning time, all the king and all the citizens finished. They broke their fast. They went back to the kingdom. And this hunter also broke his fast and had whatever he killed, he ate, I imagine. And as it was in time, as time is for all of us, he passed away. He died. And because he had fasted on this night all night long and witnessed this amazing sacrifice, he took birth as a very, in his next birth, he was a very amazing king. And his name was King Vasernath. He was strong and as effulgent as the sun. And he was as handsome as the moon. He was very charitable and a special soul. So as it happened, one day he was out in the forest hunting because they say, according to Shastra conjunction, in those days, Kshatriyas could hunt. So he was out. He was a Kshatriya king. He was out hunting, and he fell asleep. And when he fell asleep, all of these low-born men said, "This is our enemy," and they got their spears and they got their choppers and they were going to, you know, chop this guy, this king, and kill him. And he was sleeping in the forest. And all of a sudden, from his body came this amazing, beautiful woman who had a chakra, and she killed all of the miscreants that were going to kill the king. And when the king woke up, he saw all these debauchees that were, lying dead, and he was completely bewildered. And he said, "What has happened? What could have happened?" And upon hearing these words, so who actually appeared at that very moment? A voice from the sky said, "You asked that who would help you? Well, that person is none other in distress was Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came to his aid." So, he became overwhelmed by these words and returned to his kingdom and ruled his kingdom with great opulence. So I guess the purport of this story that I got is that, somehow or another, if we can follow these ruts, now we're not necessarily looking for wealth, but we certainly are looking for the eradication of our sins. That's why we chant Hare Krishna mantra. And it's described that you should worship this Amalika tree. And if not, it says you just offer a ghee lamp to Tulsi, which we do every day. And we have Tulsi at our home altar, which we offer ghee lamp and flower and incense every day. So, so there it is. This is this particular Akadasi. Very. No, we don't worry. You follow Akadasi, and also devotees are doing their service. So, it's not like we can. It's very difficult for devotees that are working and doing their service to stay up all night. But we follow the rut. We follow Akadasi. We fast from grains and beans. I know that a couple of weeks ago it was Akadasi, and Rasaraj Prabhu came to our home. We were having a meeting regarding Krishna lunch, and on Akadasi he fasts all day. So that's very auspicious if anyone can do that. I did when I was younger. I'm not able to do that now, but we follow the vrat. We have no beans, no grains, chant extra rounds if we can, read. It's very nice on Akadasi. So that's Akadasi. And today is also the disappearance day, and I was asked to just speak on that a little bit, Madhavendra Puri. So in our line, we are in the Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya. And Madhavendra Puri was a very saintly, pure, completely absorbed in pure love of God. He would sometimes lose his consciousness. He wouldn't know where he was. He would be rolling on the ground. He was just a completely liberated soul. And he was the first, some interesting things about Madhavendra Puri. He was born in Udupi in South India, in the 14th century. And, He was the guru of the Brahma or Madhva Sampradaya. So we are in the Gaudiya Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And when he came, he took initiation when he was 5 years old. And then he took sannyas when he was 12 years old. So this is like an amazing soul. And then he traveled all around India. Madhavendra Puri. And it's described at the time of his departure, he was completely absorbed in separation from Krishna. So he introduced, we have a succession when there was so much animal slaughter, then Lord Buddha appeared and he practiced ahimsa, nonviolence, and he preached about nirvana, about, you know, this kind of liberation. He also sort of renounced the Vedas because at that time so much animal slaughter and things had degraded to such a state. Actually, we understand that Buddha is an avatar, an incarnation of Krishna for a specific purpose. So then once he appeared, following that was the Sankar Acharya, who took it another step forward. He went back to the Vedas, but he said he's an avatar of the expansion of Lord Shiva, but he introduced the Vedas again, but with the all-pervasive oneness of the impersonal realization. So when Madhvacharya appeared, he set it all straight. He introduced the Madhurya Leela, the topmost understanding of love of Godhead, and also the mood of Vipralamba, or separation from Krishna. This is described in our tradition as the topmost form of worship. And we understand the gopis felt that incredible pang of separation when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura and then Dwarka. but there's the saying that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So he never leaves Vrindavan because he's completely in the hearts of all the Brijvasis. And practically speaking, because of this mood of intense love and separation, they would actually see Krishna before them. So this is what Madhvacharya introduced. He he was the sower of the seed, if you will, in our sampradaya. And then, of course, Lord Chaitanya manifested and advented the Supreme Personality of Godhead to sprinkle all those seeds all over the world, all over, you know, India, and then by the mercy of the disciples and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. What's an interesting story about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? He was in samadhi. I think I mentioned that he was in a, for I think 9 years or something, he was just in a little hut chanting so many thousands of rounds of Hare Krishna every day. And there was rain pouring down, and he wouldn't fix that hut. He would just put the umbrella up and continue chanting his rounds. And then he's very liberated soul. And then somehow or another, his father prayed for such a soul, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And so then it's described that the Panchatattva Sampradaya came to him and said, okay, give this up. Now you have to go and preach. And so he stopped his bhajan and went out to preach. And because of that, he met his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, So anyway, that's a little bit of an interesting thing about, there's so many far out stories, ecstatic stories I was reading. This is so beautiful. Once he had traveled to Vrindavan and he was in Govardhan and he was like almost mad in ecstasy and he was fasting. And all of a sudden, this beautiful, beautiful little boy came to him and offered him milk. And he said, no, but I'm fasting. He said, no, the mothers have come and told me that I should give you this milk. Please take. And so Madhavendra, he took the pot. He says, why don't you beg for some food? And he saw this beautiful boy. He was completely very satisfied hearing his words. He asked who he was and where he was residing. And the boy replied, I'm simply a cowherd boy and I reside in a village. In my village, no one fasts. And if they're hungry, they beg. Some people drink only milk. So on. And saying this, the boy left. And Madhavendra Puri was looking and looking and couldn't find this boy anywhere. And in a dream, this boy came to him and told him, I am residing in a bush. Please, you know, come and rescue me from this bush. When the Mohammedans came, my pujari hid me in a bush because he feared that, you know, I might be destroyed or like that. Please come and rescue me. So Madhavendra Puri goes to the top. He says, I'm freezing cold under this bush. Please come and take me. This happened in a dream. And so, and then construct a temple on the top of Govardhan. And wash me with large quantities of water because I've been, you know, I've been under this bush and I'm all muddy. So he had this vivid dream and he went to this bush and he dug out this beautiful, deity of Gopal. He said, my name is Gopal. And he made a temple on the top of Govardhan Hill for this deity, Madhavendra Puri, which is, remnants of that are still there. Yes, when we circumvented, when we went around Govardhan. Yes. Final grace. Huh? Oh, well, it's he was from the 13th century, so it's many, many hundreds and hundreds of years old. Not so much now. So many sacred places now have been, diminished in time, and it's very hard in these areas for people to maintain all of these. So, Hare Krishna, I thought I would just read a little bit about Madhavendra Puri. There's so much more to read, but anyway, I just all glories to Madhavendra Puri, disappearance day today. So, let's see. I had my book here. I had put my... right here. I'm sorry, dear. Here it is. Sorry. Yes, so we're chanting a verse right this minute. We are. And now we are going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're reading, we're now on chapter, Canto 11, chapter 22, text 4. And this is Uddhava Gita. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's the conversation Krishna is speaking with his dearmost friend, Arjuna. And in the Uddhava Gita is a conversation between questions that are asked from Arjuna to Krishna for our eternal gain in the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. And then in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna is speaking, Uddhava is putting forth questions to Krishna. And Uddhava was a very, as we know, he was one of the topmost Vrishnis in the Vrishni dynasty, exalted. He was a disciple of Brishupati, who is the teacher and spiritual guide in the heavenly planets. Very, very intelligent, very learned. And Krishna, as we know, sent him to Vrindavan to deliver a letter to the gopis. And it's described that Uddhava looked very much like Krishna. He wore yellow garments, the color sham. He looked so much like Krishna. So anyway, we're off to the canto 4. Chapter 23, text 4. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yuktam cha shanti sarvartha. Bhashante brahmana yata. Mayam madiyam udgraya. Mudraya. Vadantam kim nudugatam durgatam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yaktam cha shanti sarvatra Vashanti brahmanayata Mayam adiyam ugrara Udgraya vadatam kim nudurgatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yuktam cha shanti sarvata. Vashanti brahmana yata. Maya madhi gyamur graya vadantam kim nudurgatam. Would anyone like to chant on their own? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha yuktam sa shanti sarvatra Prashanti Brahmana Yata Madan Madhyam Udraya Padatam Kim Nadurgatam Shri Bhagavan Vacha Yatam sacha santi sarvatra Prashanti brahmanayata Madan madurya mudrigya Vatata kim nadurgatam. Okay, word for word. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Yuktam, responsibility, cha, even, shanti, they are present, sarvatra, everywhere. Vashanti, they speak. Brahmanaha, the Brahmins. Yata, how. Mayam, the mystic energy. Madhyam, my. Urdragya, resorting. resorting to. Vadatam, of those who speak. Kim, what? Nu, after all. Durgatam, will be possible. Translations by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna replied, because all the material elements are present everywhere, it is reasonable that different learned Brahmins have analyzed them in different ways. All such philosophers spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, and thus they could say anything without contradicting the truth. Purport. The word, Lord Krishna replied, because all material elements are present everywhere, it is reasonable that different learned Brahmins have analyzed them in different ways. All such philosophers spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, and thus they could say anything without contradicting the truth. So, you know, on Saturday, this devotee, Vishnu, I forget his name, gave an amazing, erudite, very learned class about the previous verse, which was text 1 and 2. And in that translation, it's described how the different sages were understanding different aspects of material creation. Some, as it says there, some were saying there were, 26 elements, while others were saying 25, and then some 7, 9, 4, and 11. And so in response to that text, that Uddhava was inquiring, Krishna is responding here in this text number 4. And so in the purport, it says, the word Shanti Sarvatra in this verse indicate that all material elements are found within each other in gross or subtle forms. In this way, there are innumerable ways to categorically describe them. The material world is ultimately illusory, undergoing constant transformation. It may be measured in different ways, just as the mirage on an oasis may be described in different ways. But the Lord's own analysis of 28 elements is perfect and should be accepted. Srila Jiva Goswami states that the words maya in this verse does not refer to maya or the potency of ignorance, but to the Lord's inconceivable mystic potency, which shelters the learned followers of the Vedic knowledge. Each of these philosophers mentioned here reveals a particular aspect of the truth, and their theories are not contradictory, since they are simply describing the same phenomena in different categorical systems. Such philosophical disagreements is endless in the material world. Thus, everyone should unite on the platform of the Lord's own opinion, as stated in this verse. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna requests all conditioned souls to give up their various forms of worship and surrender unto him in full Krishna consciousness, becoming his devotees. Thus, the whole universe can be united in love of Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By the Lord's revealing himself to a sincere devotee, the controversy of analytical philosophy is ended. So again, the Lord replied, because all the material elements are present everywhere, it's reasonable that different learned Brahmins have analyzed these in different ways. All such philosophies spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, and thus they could say anything without being contradictory. So I've referenced a few things in this verse, and the first thing that struck me was, the material world is ultimately illusory, undergoing constant transformations. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, and we understand this, but in the Bhagavad Gita, this is in the most confidential knowledge. There's two succinct verses, one after another, but in text 8, this is described that the whole cosmic order is under me, and under my will, Krishna says, it is automatically manifested again and again, and under my will is annihilated again and again. So, you know, in this text we were reading how the material energy is also always undergoing transformation. So in our sense, in this material world, we could just see this past week all the different transformations from inundation of rain all week long into, you know, the sun coming up and just a spectacular, you know, sunset that was just, you know, the whole sky was just orange and red and just spectacular. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, all glorious, wonderful things just spring from a spark of my splendor. So when you see a sunset like this, it's spectacular. And we can understand it's just a tiny spark of Krishna's splendor. And it's also described, you know, some people were moaning and groaning, oh my God, it's depressing, so much rain, you know. And I commented, wow, but that's what makes Dallas so green. And I was reading in the Krishna book how, you know, we maybe don't like when it rains so much. We find it, you know, dark and depressing. But actually in Vrindavan, after the scorching heat of the summer, when the monsoon and the rains came, the residents of Vrindavan were jubilant because it meant that all the, you know, the grains, the earth was, Bhumi Devi was nourished by all the rain, and then the grains would come. So just in that sense, just in our existence, we can see how everything is, constantly muted. It's changing all the time in this. And then when we look at the cosmic sense, the whole cosmic order is under me, Krishna says. My will is automatically manifesting again and again. And it's described that the material world is a transformation, as we understand, of Krishna's inferior energy. And the creation of material energy is set loose by the Mahatattva, which is the you know, the material manifestation comes from the Mahatattva, and it is first Purusha, Mahavishnu, enters, and he lies in the causal ocean, and he breathes. He's like the mother, the divine mother. He breathes, and from his breath, bubbles of the innumerable universes are created, and then Garbhadakshay Vishnu enters as the different Vishnus in each universe. If you remember, I don't know if it's the same. Remember the original cover of the Bhagavatam that shows Krishna in the spiritual world and all the different planets with all the different Vishnus like that? So beautiful. I don't know if it's the same anymore. And then, of course, from there, we have Sri Adakshay Vishnu, this super soul that is Krishna's so kind. He's such our dearmost friend. He guides us. He comes within our heart and comes with us from birth after birth after birth. Even within the atom, Paramatma is present. And he comes as our eternal guide. And he's just waiting. He's witnessing and just waiting for the time that we in one birth or another, we may just get so burnt out from the heavy sufferings that we incur from the body, the mind, the elements. At some point, we turn to him and say, I've had enough. Why am I here? Why am I suffering? You know, what is this all about? And Krishna then, as a super soul, guides us. We meet our eternal spiritual master. We come to understand the truth. And so Krishna, God, is present in all bona fide traditions, and some people approach him as we've been blessed through this sampradaya, this Gaudiya Madhva sampradaya, and we've been blessed to have this topmost knowledge of Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaking to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita. And it's non-different. Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's about Krishna, non-different. Krishna Katha, This is the cure to all of our ills here in the material world. We have to hear about Krishna one way or another, right? So anyway, this is just explaining about the different aspects of creation and how everything is wound up in the final destruction. It's like a birth, and then all the jivas go back into the body of Vishnu. and where they rest. And then the whole creation is manifest again. And according to the karma of the individual, what our consciousness is at the time of death, certainly we understand it carries us to our next birth. And when the final destruction takes place, then when it sets loose again, we again begin our cycle of samsara. So, of course, the goal for all of us devotees is somehow or another, while we're meandering through this lifetime, and doing our duty. Prabhupada said, "You have to work. You can't not keep body and soul together, unless you're like a Paramahamsa, pure, detached, unalloyed devotee. We're a work in progress. All of us are at different levels of our Krishna consciousness. I know I'm at the below the bottom rung myself. I'm striving. I'm praying, but somehow or another, we have to simultaneously cultivate our spiritual consciousness, our spiritual life. That's one point I wanted to make in this purport. And then another valid, a very strong point that is given in this purport is that it all comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Even the ability of all these different sages to understand the different philosophical angles of the manifestation, of the material manifestation from, mind intelligence and false ego is what carries us in a sense. There's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Let's see if I have that here. I think we all know this particular verse. I think it's from the Katha Upanishad. But it shows the plate very clearly about how the individual soul is carried. So I'll just read this because it's very relevant to this text. It says, let's see if I can find it. Let's see, I think I have it right here. Yes, so, it's the verse that the mind is restless and turbulent, obstinate and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. So, in a sense, although, these sages that he's referencing are exalted, they all, and everything comes from Krishna. Intelligence, Krishna says, I'm the taste of water, I'm the syllable om, I'm intelligence in man. So all of this is coming from Krishna. These sages, it's described in this text, it's all coming from Krishna. And so it's like a diamond, right? And so each facet of the diamond reflects the light of the truth of that diamond. So in our understanding, each different presentation is reflecting the same light according to the individual's angle of vision. But it's the truth nonetheless. So but I thought this was very relevant because in the text it's described that even in this age, everyone is, you have so many scientists and scholars that put forth some very elaborate theory. And then we can understand that in time that theory is debunked. Then there's another present that we were wrong. Now there's another angle of vision to consider. And then that will be debated between scholars. No, it's like this. No, it's like that. So this particular verse is beautiful because in this verse there's the quote which goes with that plate from the Katha Upanishad, which describes the individual as the passenger in the car of the material body. So in that particular plate, you can see that the cart is the chariot, if you will, they show, is the material body, and the individual soul is the passenger in that body. And the intelligence is the driver, and the mind is the reins, is the driving instrument, and the horses are the five senses. So what we can gather from that is that the soul is, you know, should be controlled by the higher intelligence. In other words, we should understand what should be done and what should not be done. And intelligence, we have material intelligence, but we also can understand spiritually. The knowledge that we've been given gives us great intelligence to know within our heart of hearts what we should and should not do. However, the mind, as it says in this verse, is more obstinate and difficult to control, more difficult than the wind. So even though intelligence surpasses the mind, even though sometimes we know something we should not do, the mind is so obstinate and difficult, it surpasses the intelligence, and we do it anyway. We're pulled by our senses. Oh, let me have this, then I'll really be happy. Let me go for that. Wow, that'll satisfy me completely. I was listening to a beautiful lecture while I was dressing my Gornitai and Giriraj yesterday in their festive outfits, awaiting for Gaur Purnima. And I listened to a beautiful lecture of Prabhupada. It was from 1965. Beautiful lecture. And in this lecture, he was describing how this ahankara, this false ego, how very difficult it is. This gives us the designations, of course, that I'm Indian body, I'm Western body, I'm a male body, I'm a female body. And Prabhupada acknowledges this is very difficult to give up these designations. It's very deep-rooted in the sense of false ego, the false identification. But, of course, he rises us to the platform that the only way to surpass this is to chant the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's the only way. It's the only way to rise us beyond the platform that we've been bound deeply in from time immemorial. How many, many, many births. Very deeply rooted. So that's our constant prayer throughout our lifetime. Please, and engage me in service. So in this verse, it's just a very beautiful verse because we are pulled. The mind, it surpasses the intelligence many times, even though we don't want it, it comes. And so this is our process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra to deliver us and to help us. It's, he states again that disagreement is endless in this material world. So in Kali Yuga, we know clearly the disqualifications that we all have, that we are, you know, it's a quarrel happens in over the simplest things. Like, you know, where are all the kartals in the temple room? And someone just might go over the edge and get really agitated. Who has taken all the kartals? So, you know, it's even alive and well within our society, there's disagreements. It's, you know, in this verse, it was mentioning the different sages that see things in a different angle of vision. And we were speaking with a very... our family Shiksha Guru, in a sense, a dear friend of ours, Sannyasi Guru, initiating guru, who is saying, yes, this is alive and well, even in our GBC annual meetings every year. We can see that there are, you know, disagreements and different angles of vision to discuss a different topic. And they're all learned and they're all very Krishna conscious. But sometimes it's hard to come to an agreement in Kali Yuga. We have deep feelings within our hearts and minds, and we have to clean the mirror of the mind, and we have to clean all the dirt that's like coal within all of our hearts. And the processes Prabhupada gave us, I mean, I've talked with someone yesterday who experiences a lot of anxiety, and but it was confirmed that this anxiety is completely eradicated. There's no anxiety existing when he's chanting the Hare Krishna, right? Isn't that true, Devi? It disappears. So there's that, you know, that beautiful song. I think I sang it before about the children's song that I some great devotees in Alatra made this record, you know, and it's "I'm a spirit soul eternally in bliss, knowledge and ever increasing happiness, chanting Hare Krishna, our life will be sublime. We just have to remember this all the time." Chanting Hare Krishna, my life will be sublime. I just have to remember this all the time. So I thought in that line, since at the end of this purport, that is the emphasis, which I will read once more. The whole universe can be united in love of Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by the Lord's revealing himself to his sincere devotee, controversy of analytic philosophy is ended. So that is our prayer, that controversy is ended. And I just, you know, I think I've read from this before. This is chanting Hare Krishna. I don't know if it's in the gift shop, but it's a nice little book that should be in the gift shop. And a dear friend of ours, Shruti Dev, put this together. The Art of Mystic Meditation, Kirtan, and Bhakti Yoga. And it's beautiful. And this particular chapter is freedom from offenses by glorifying the name of Krishna. And so we know this particular verse, of course. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kaluana Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatir, Anyataha. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. In this age of Kali, this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. And here's another beautiful verse. In the courtyard, he titled it, In the Courtyard of the Heart. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. When the desire for many, many mouths, when we then desire many, many mouths, when the name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, the seat of anxiety, isn't it? The activities of the mind, and therefore all sensors become inert. This is Srila Rupa Goswami in the Vidagdha Madhava 1.15. And then constant chanting. The king constantly chanted the holy names of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So this is another inspiring verse. It's saying just chant, even if you're full of material desires, even if you're on a liberated platform, if you're free from all material desires, just chant the holy name. That's Srimad Bhagavatam, famous verse 2.1.11. And this is another inspiring verse. It's entitled, How Glorious Are They? Oh, how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting the holy name, even if born in the family of dog eaters. Such persons are worshipable. People who chant the holy name of the Lord must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at all the holy pilgrimage places, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. That's 3:33:7 in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, personally, you know, I pray to have the good manners of the Aryans, and it's inconceivable that somehow or another, you know, the mercy of my spiritual master, I've been given the privilege to chant the holy name of the Lord and render some service. But here in this verse, it says in some distant, remote birth, somehow or another, along the way, we must have somehow performed these auspicious activities. And so now, you know, you can see amongst the whole body of devotees, we're all just taking up from where we left off. And, you know, I remember, you know, you see some devotees like Dravida Prabhu and these devotees that met Prabhupada and just Bing. I mean, they're such elevated. They just dove in, and they're just such erudite, brilliant scholars. I mean, you could read some of Dravida Prabhu's poetry online that he has elaborately written with amazing Sanskrit shlokas that he's put these poems together about Krishna. So we can understand that, you know, this is last birth. He's going back to Godhead. As for me, I may be stuck in this material world for many lifetimes, because it's described that we have to become pure and free from any spot of sin. So, you know, when will that day be mine? But somehow or another, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we're approaching Gaur Purnima, and this disappearance of Madhva Acharya kind of preeminates the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, since he inaugurated the total mood of separation from Krishna. And we know that Lord Chaitanya spent the latter years in Puri in that absolute mood of completely feeling the intense separation from his beloved Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, feeling so much separation. So we are you know, today was a very auspicious day. So here's another beautiful verse. This age of Kali is full of unlimited faults. Indeed, it is just like an ocean of faults. It's an ocean of faults. But there is one chance, one opportunity. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can be free from the contamination of Kali Yuga in his original spiritual body, and in his original spiritual body can return back home, back to Godhead. So that gives us some hope that Lord Chaitanya came to give us this process of Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and that it can actually, you can feel when you're really hearing the holy name and you're really chanting deeply and it's entering into your ears, going into your heart, and subduing the mad mind, the mad mind from wandering in so many places. When we could really hear the name of Krishna, we feel like we have like a kavacha, like a shield, and you can go through the material world and feel a little bit aloof and protected from all the anomalies and all the difficulties that are manifest in this age of Kali Yuga. So we can't minimize this process. And I know I fall back on this all the time, but it's so wonderful. One associates with the Lord directly in this age of Kali Yuga. The holy name of Lord Krishna, the Hare Krishna Mara Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, One associates with the Lord directly, directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 17:22. And it's described that the holy name is the means of awakening all good fortune simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. One can be freed from all undesirable habits. This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love of Krishna. So beautiful, right? It's the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love of Krishna. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's in Adi 20:21. I reside in that place, my dear Narada. Actually, Krishna speaking, actually, I do not reside in my abode, Vaikuntha, nor do I reside in the hearts of the yogis. But I reside in that place where my pure devotees chant my holy name and discuss my form, pastimes, and qualities. It's from the Padma Purana. So in this beautiful lecture that I was listening to yesterday, as I mentioned, Srila Prabhupada from 1965, he's in matchless gifts. And so he was making this point that the most important thing is to chant and to discuss the name, form, and pastimes, to describe Krishna Katha, to talk about the amazing, wonderful qualities of Krishna. It's beautiful just to read about Krishna. The Krishna book is just so beautiful. It's so full of different pastimes of Krishna. We should read a little bit every night. I keep it beside my bed, so I read a little bit of Krishna book every night, again, going through it. It's just beautiful. And Prabhupada, it's amazing because he always emphasized not going to the 10th canto, which is Krishna book of the Bhagavatam, but rather going through each canto successfully for fear that it would be misunderstood, the intimate pastimes of Krishna. But yet he printed Krishna book and he wanted it to be distributed widely. And he just, if you read the Krishna book, it's just so beautiful because he delivers Krishna book as it is, but with his beautiful commentaries and purports and the way he presented Krishna book, it actually distinguishes lust within the heart and awakens the love for Krishna little by little. So, yeah, that's right. That's right. So he printed, he didn't know. Yeah. Oh, nice. How old is your son? Nice. So that's nice. That's beautiful. Yes, I have, I have three grandchildren now, and my two grandchildren would come to our home in Denver, and we would watch Krishna book on. We had the videos, and I gave the DVDs to my daughter-in-law, but you can watch them on YouTube. So if you've not seen them, it's Little Krishna, and they're just endearing. Little Krishna, the jewel of Vrindavan, Krishna. Oh, they're so sweet. Watch them with your son. They're just beautifully done, beautifully done. So I'll just close with this one verse, which is beautiful. It's, I can become easily purchased. Anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associated with me. And I tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased. This is from the Adi Purana, which is reference of the nectar of devotion. One cannot find a method of religion more sublime. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, are specially meant for counteracting the contaminations of Kali, the present age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And we know all about that. It's alive and well. We experience that. The 16 names composed of the 32 syllables are the only means to counteract the evil effects of Kali Yuga. After searching through all the Vedic literatures, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime for the age, for this age, than chanting Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. If there are any comments or questions, Mishra Bhagavan, do you have any anything to add?
And it is easy and sublime. And I know the thing with me,
sorry, is it on me, sure?
With Christianity, I can appreciate the Bible saying God is great and just kind of leaving it at that, because we get all this information, and the only way I can believe it is because nobody could make this stuff up. You know what I mean? And it's like, we're the smallest universe. Our Brahma only has four heads. There's unlimited universes. There's the Mahavishnu. And the information is just, it's like overwhelming. You know, it has to be realized. You can't
You need Shraddha, faith. And faith comes. How does faith come?
The devotees, the association of devotees is what gives me faith. Because I see this guy's really cool and he believes this stuff. So it must be real.
Very nice. Excellent. Yes. By associating with the devotees, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting the holy name, we get faith. Faith comes because it lies within, because we feel like we've been cheated for so many lifetimes. You know, we approach someone and they say they're going to give us the right thing, and then we're cheated. So when we first come to Krishna consciousness, There's some doubts that linger, but it's actually, this is our process to hear and to inquire submissively. So when doubts come, we don't just feel guilty. Oh my gosh, I've got all these doubts. I must be really in Maya. No, we have to inquire from the advanced devotees when there's some doubt lingering in the heart or some confusion. It's endless. It's endless. It's an ongoing process, because when we submit our doubts and the answer comes that clarifies everything, the doubts fly away just like doves going up into the sky. They leave. And then, you know, so it's a work in progress. It's a path of purification. We have to be honest with our when doubts come, and we have to seek out those devotees that can help us when we are confused or even when we're angry. The association of devotees is the greatest gift. But Prabhupada also said it's like a razor's edge. It's like a razor's edge, because you've got a conglomeration of people from all different backgrounds, you know, cultures, traditions, coming together. And they're coming together for the common good. They found the absolute truth in these scriptures. They were blessed to be here. But because people are from different backgrounds, sometimes, you know, there can be a rubbing. So it's a razor's edge. We have to be very careful when we come together not to commit offenses to one another. Trinadapi sunichena. Lord Chaitanya said, please be humble and tolerant like a tree towards each other. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we're treated harshly, even by the body of devotees. And it can be painful. It can be painful. And we can question why? Why is this happening? But if we maintain a humble position and state, well, it must be something I've done that has disturbed the devotees, or something in a previous lifetime I've done that I'm getting the reaction to now. If we can somehow maintain a little bit of humility, and humility doesn't mean that we are you know, oh my God, I'm just, oh, I'm so fallen, you know. No, actually humility means, in my understanding, is that we take a humble position when things, when we're checked or, you know, maybe, chastised. We take a humble position, but we go forward with our service with great enthusiasm. We see that somehow or another, you know, I, you know, this may be my due. And even I remember I gave a little class in Puerto Rico and one devotee asked, so what happens if, you know, someone has offended me and they were completely wrong and I didn't really do what they were saying I did and they were really, you know, really heavy with me. What should my position be? And, you know, I thought about it and I thought, well, I think if you maintain humility and just even if, you know, you're being checked and you feel like, no, it's not right. I didn't really do anything wrong. But if you maintain a humble mood, I think Krishna's very pleased with that. I think that pleases Guru and Krishna. It's not that we don't stand up and say, wait, let me clarify, but it's done not in a angry or hostile mood, but in a mood of great humility. So that's my realization.
That's what I like about our philosophy, is that you can kind of analyze these things and separate them. Like you can go, wait a minute, that's just my false ego. You know, I need to cool down. You know, it's like we understand
put a bucket of cold
the psychology
water.
behind these things. But Srila Gurudev says that it may sound mundane or whatever, but one's ability to become Krishna conscious may rely on one's ability to go to bed early and get up early.
Yeah.
And he says, anyone who goes to bed and gets up and chants his rounds before Mangalartik, attends Mangalartik, reads during Japa, takes a little rest, attends the rest of the program, will become a pure devotee in 2 years.
Oh, in 2 years. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I always found
All I can say is, when will that day be mine?
Well, I found it interesting that Srila Gurudev, you know, who was so adamant about service, didn't mention service in that statement.
Nice. Well, thank you very much for sharing that, Petita.
That's something I've tried to live by ever since I heard it, because it sounds so easy. You know, go to bed early.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, turn off your TV and, you know, like
That's
that.
That's right.
My main concern is inattentive chanting. I don't know how I'm going to get over that.
Yeah.
Because it just, it's like a horrible, and all of our problems, as far as I understand the philosophy, come from inattentive chanting.
Yeah. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Pray
Thank
for
you
me.
Very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to the assembled devotees. Vanja Kopa Chubhisha. Kripa Sindhu Vavaja. Patitanam Pavanevio Vaishnavavio Namo Namaha. Thank you.
Krishna Nandini Mataji Ki Jai.